Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 as we continue to study the Beatitudes. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.'" Tonight we're going to talk about this. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus, we thank you tonight that you gave us these Beatitudes, that you spoke to us and you taught us. Even though it was thousands of years ago, I thank you that they were recorded and they were put down in all scriptures given by God. And my words are leaving me, but it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we thank you for these words, and I pray that we would open our hearts to allow the Word of God to do exactly that, that the inspired Word of God would teach us and would correct us. The areas where we need help in our life, I thank you that you'll help us. The areas where we need strength, I thank you that you'll strengthen us. And so we look to your Word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. These Beatitudes that we're now on our sixth week of talking about these. We've covered five of them. Now we're going to cover a sixth one tonight. I've been thinking a lot about them, and as I hope that you have, I hope that the reason we're doing these in a series and we didn't just cover them all in one night is so that as you spread something out over time, I'm hoping that you're thinking about this and you're meditating on it, not because I'm saying it, but because it's the Word of God. As we meditate on the Word, you know, David said, I will meditate on your Word both day and night. And so I encourage you to do that. And really what these are, as I've stressed so every single week, as Jesus is saying, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. He is giving us these things to say, happy are, happy are, happy are. So here's what they are. These are spiritual formula for godly happiness. You ever wish you had the formula for something, right? Like McDonald's got the formula first for like fast food restaurants, right? And then other people begin to copy that formula. And there's different formulas to success but Jesus literally gave us an open playbook. You know, Logan and I were talking earlier. Logan went to Fife. And if you know anything about Fife, if people that went to Fife, they're very proud of being from Fife. Why? We're still not sure, but they are. And so we let them do that. But it's mainly because of their football team. And one of the reasons that Fife has been so successful in football over the past few years or many years is the formula that their coach has developed. And they use that formula from like middle school, JV, high school. They're learning the same scheme from the time that they're a child all the way up until they graduate high school. And so by the time they get to high school, they're not having to learn a new formula. They're not having to learn a new scheme. They've been doing that scheme since they were children. And so they're more successful at it as high schoolers. Well, Jesus gave us this formula that we don't think about enough. We don't put it into practice enough. We don't, make it applicable to our life enough. And so I want to encourage you, if you struggle with, and we all do from time to time, you know, being happy, go to this and just read this and go, okay, I guess I need to be more poor in spirit. I guess I need to be more sorrowful for my sin. I guess I need to be more humble. I guess I need to hunger and thirst for righteousness more. I guess I need to show more mercy. I guess I need to be more pure in heart, because if I do those things, Jesus said, I'll be happy. That's the formula. That's the key to being happy in God. Not worldly happiness, but godly happiness. Not the world's version of what fulfillment looks like, but true fulfillment that can only come through Christ Jesus. So let's talk tonight about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When I think about being pure in heart, the first thing I think about is a child. Because children are a lot of times the most pure, innocent vessels that there possibly could be on this earth. They haven't traversed through life and experienced maybe the pain or the sorrow or gotten into sin or gotten wayward. And, you know, Jesus said, suffer the little children and let them come unto me. He said that we should want to be like children. If we're going to be in the kingdom of God, we need to be like children. In fact, he said, if somebody causes one of these little ones to sin, it would be better for him to tie a millstone around his neck and throw himself into the sea than to cause one of these little ones who believes in me to sin. Why? What was Jesus doing? He was saying, I want to protect the innocence of these children, the purity of the heart of these children. And so let's begin tonight by getting a basic understanding of the definition of the key words in this passage. As we've done a lot of times through this, we're just going to break it down kind of word by word. We know what blessed means. So blessed are the pure in heart. What does the word pure mean? In Greek, the word pure means clean, clear, or purged. And as you study it out, the usage of the word is without mixture. Now, we're going to talk about that for a little bit. What that means, that we as part of the kingdom, as part of the body of Christ and living in the kingdom of God, Jesus spoke to one of the churches in Revelation, and he said, I would that you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. What is he talking about? He's saying, you aren't hot, you aren't cold. There's a mixture of the two. And he literally says, some translations say, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I know that that's a very graphic word to use, but that's how Jesus views lukewarmness. That's how Jesus views people that are not living with a pure heart, that there's a mixture. Yes, I want the blessing. I want the happiness. I want the favor of God, but I also want to fulfill my fleshly side. And so I've got the good and I've got the bad and I'm mixing them together. And Jesus is saying, blessed are the ones who don't mix with the world. Blessed are the ones that don't let evil infiltrate their heart and say, I'll take a little bit of this and I'll take a little bit of that. But those that are without mixture. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, so there's that word pure, is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, we've built an entire system of church today against religion. Like, people literally say, I don't want religion. I don't want religion. I'm like, I get what you're trying to say, but do you realize that there is a pure and there is an undefiled religion that we should be a part of and we should be committed to? And it's pure in the eyes of God, and it's to look after, there's children again, orphans and widows when they're in distress, but also it's to keep oneself from being polluted without the mixture of the world. And the problem is we've got so many people that want to be in the church, but they want the world in them. But the Bible says, be in the world, but not of the world. Do not love the world, neither the things of this world, because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So when God looks for purity, this is what he's looking for in us, is someone that's clear, clean, purged, without mixture. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, y'all get tired of hearing this scripture, I'm sure, because I quote it so many times. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. I can't stress to you the importance of that, of guarding your heart and making sure I'm not allowing poisonous things to get in here. I'm not allowing the mixture of the world to come in. I'm not legalistic. I don't say, oh, I'm not going to listen to any music, or I'm not going to ever turn on the TV, or I'm not ever going to. But when I do listen to music, when I do turn on the TV, I'm discerning as to whether that is something that needs to come into the temple of the Holy Ghost. Remember the scripture we talked about Sunday morning. Do you not know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Honor God with your body. We should guard our hearts and say, that mixture is not coming in here. Because, you know, when you, and I am by no means a scientist whatsoever. In fact, this is just a miracle, the goodness of God. How I graduated high school is an absolute miracle. I have no clue. I really don't know. It was just like, I went in there, I was homeschooled, and I had to take the ACT. I may have told this before. I take the ACT in order to graduate. That's how it was back then. I don't know if you still have to do that in homeschooling. But I had to get like a 16 to graduate, which sounded really hard to me. I didn't know how the scoring worked. I was like, 16, goodness gracious. Like, is that a perfect score? What is that? And so I went in there and I was like, Lord, I need you to help me because I don't know any of this. This is a true story. Y'all think I'm kidding. I didn't know anything. And I went in there, Huntsville High School, and I took the test. It took a while for the test results to come back. And they said, you got an 18. And then they had the audacity, the gall, the nerve to say, would you like to take it again? I was like, didn't you say I needed a 16? And they said, yeah. I said, why would I take it again? I made an 18. And they were like, well, you got a better chance of getting in college. I was like, I am not going to college. I knew it by that point I wasn't. So anyways, I don't know why I was telling y'all that. I really don't know why. I'm not a scientist. Thank you. I'm not a scientist. And I'm apparently not much of anything when it comes to education. But there are, I do know this, even though I'm not a scientist. There are some things that you do not want to mix together. There are certain chemicals that cause a reaction. And I'll tell you this, when the world gets in your heart, it will cause a reaction. And it's not a pretty one. It's not a pleasant one. And it's not a pleasing one to God. And so we need to guard our hearts from things coming in. Think about this. If I were to present you right up here on the front row, there's, thanks to the wonderful deacons of this house, there is an unopened bottle of water that if I presented it to you and the seal was not broken, you would probably, in gratitude, take it, open it, and drink it, and find it quite refreshing. But if I were to give you a bottle of water that I had mixed with toilet water, and I handed it to you and said, hey, this is half purified drinking water and half toilet water. Enjoy. Nobody in here, because there's no teenagers in here, would be like, you know, if I went in there where Tanner is, you know, there'd be at least one that'd be like, I'll drink it. There's always some crazy kid in there that just wants attention, right? And but no one would drink water that had been mixed with toilet water. Well, maybe that's what Millie's drinking right now. I don't know. I'm just joking with you, Millie. But Jesus is saying you cannot mix poison with purity and expect to live a happy life. You cannot mix the world with the kingdom and expect to be fulfilled and blessed. Blessed people have chosen, made a decision. I will remain unspotted from the world, not polluted by the world. That doesn't mean that we remove ourselves entirely from the world. We still have to have jobs. We still have to be in the community. We still have to be here because that's where we witness to people. That's where we make a difference. That's where we win souls. That's where we help people. And so Jesus, notice this though. He inserts 1,000% on purpose the word heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. He did not just say blessed are the pure. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So the word heart, we talked about what pure is. The word heart is the Greek word cardia. It's where we get our word cardiac or cardiovascular. And it means in the Greek thoughts, feelings, or the desires that establish who we are. Think about that. Jesus is saying, blessed are people that are clean, pure, unmixed from the world in the desires that establish who they are. I used to read scriptures when I was younger, like in the book of Proverbs, where Solomon is writing to his son, and he says, my son, do not be envious of evil men. And I'm like, what does he mean by that? Don't be envious of evil men. And I realized as I got older that sometimes as believers, we know we can't do wrong, but yet inside of us, there's still a desire when we look at other people to be like, I can't do it because I know it's wrong, but I kind of wish I could live that life. Kind of wish I could do that. Kind of wish that I didn't have to say no to that lustful thought. I kind of wish I didn't have to say no to that vice or to that thing that they seem to find enjoyment in. And so in our life, we have to not just be pure in what we do externally, but are we pure even in the desires that make up who we are? Even our thoughts, even the intents of our heart. So being pure in heart starts with your intentions. And the heart is the effective center of our being. That means it's our mind, it's our character, and it's our inner self. And that's what Jesus is really focused on. He said, I want you to be, if you're going to be blessed, I want you to be clean. I want you to be without mixture in your inner self. I don't want you just to appear pure. I want you to be pure of heart. He doesn't want us to be pure in appearance only, but he wants us to be pure in the innermost of our being. That means this: pure thoughts, pure motives, pure intentions, and pure feelings. Being pure is a matter of the heart, not a matter of our actions. Because you can do everything right externally, but still have a heart that's mixed with wickedness or with pride or with lust or with greed or with doubt. And so our actions may appear pure, but they can be polluted by a heart that's inwardly wicked. So he wants our heart to be without mixture. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 through 28. This is Jesus speaking, and he's talking to the Pharisees and to the scribes. And he says many things that should convict our hearts to make us realize that the areas where we are more like Pharisees and hypocrites and scribes than we think that we are. But in chapter 23 of Matthew 25 through 28, here's what Jesus says to them. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the dish and the cup, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So, what this says to me is that we have to be careful that looking the part does not take precedence over having a pure heart. Sometimes we become so fixated on appearing pure that our intentions get forgotten or get put on the back burner. And if we are not intentional with our intentions, they will by nature be fleshly, and they'll be wrong, and they'll be prideful. And he says to the scribes, to the Pharisees, and he calls them hypocrites, and he says, make sure that you don't just clean the outside. Make the outside look pretty. Make sure that the inside's clean first. There's nothing wrong with the outside being clean. He did not say you can't clean the outside. He said clean the inside first, meaning make that a priority. Make sure that in your heart there's purity. And guess what? If you make sure your heart's pure, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? Everything you do flows from it. So your actions will be pure if they come from a pure heart. But pure actions with an impure heart is just fighting against one another, and it's not real. It's not true. And so it's the heart that matters most. You can have everything perfect. You can have everything in a straight line as can be on the outside, but you still be dead on the inside. You're going to church, you're reading the word, people are seeing you lift your hands, you never say an evil word to anyone in public, but if the heart is not clean, it doesn't matter how good you look on the outside. It doesn't matter how good I look on the outside. If my heart's impure, remember this, man judges by the outward appearance. What does God look at? The heart. That's why it's so important. He came so that you could have life and have life more abundantly. So he came so that you could truly be pure in your heart, not just having the facade of righteousness. You see, in the old covenant, The reason that the Pharisees were conditioned the way that they were is they were still living by the old covenant. In the old covenant, you couldn't truly be pure. When that sacrifice was made, only for a moment. But until you sacrificed again, you weren't pure. You weren't holy. So all you could do was try to look like it on the outside. All you could do was try to make everybody else think you were better than you actually were. And so they were living by that way. And Jesus saying, no, that's not the way that it is. That's why he said in the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And so he's trying to bring us back to that truth and realize it begins in the heart. And so I want to read the scripture, Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I was thinking about that today. That means that he wanted you to be pure so bad and live with a pure heart so badly that he paid the ultimate price to make it a reality. Because he was wounded. Why? For your transgressions, for my transgressions. And he didn't want us to have to bear them anymore. He was wounded, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Now, a bruise takes place on the inside of the body. An iniquity, many people have likened it to a transgression is an outward sin, and iniquity is sin that is committed within the heart. And he took care of both of them because he wants you to be cleansed of the transgressions that you commit outwardly towards other people and inwardly that you commit against yourself and against God. And so Jesus is saying this, when you do not live with a pure heart, you cannot live a happy life. And I started thinking about that because it's true. When we live in a lack of purity, meaning we allow ourselves to have mixture with the world, we, as believers, as children of God, we have an understanding of what's good, what's moral, what's right, and what's decent. So therefore, it goes back to conscience, which we talked about a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning. When I know what's right, but I do what's wrong, there's baggage attached, and it's called guilt. It's called shame. And so when I know what pure and undefiled religion is, but I don't do it, in fact, he who knows to do right but does wrong, to him it is sin. And so when I know that something is morally right to do, or I know that something is morally wrong to do, and I still allow my heart to have mixture with the world, I begin to carry around this weight and this baggage of condemnation and of sin and of shame, which robs me of true joy. And when I feel that way, then I begin to become a whitewashed sepulcher, because I don't want other people to know that I've committed things that cause guilt and shame and condemnation. And so therefore, I begin to make myself appear to be happy and joyful, and I'm good on the outside, but inwardly, there's no happiness, because I know I've stepped outside of the prescribed will of God for my life. And so that's why Jesus is saying, look, there's a blessing in having a pure heart, because you'll truly be able to have joy. It's like we sang earlier tonight, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. David said that in Psalm chapter 16. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That means that when we live near to him, close to him, with him, we can have true joy. We can have true happiness. But when we've gotten off the plan of God for our life, out of the will of God, there is an attached baggage of shame and guilt that comes, and we can't truly be happy. And so God wants us to be pure for a few reasons. Number one of them, because we're happy when we're pure. We truly have joy. We don't have the burden that comes from the wrongs we've committed. Now, here's the thing. He can most certainly cleanse, heal, and forgive. He can. If we allow mixture to come, he will purge us. He will cleanse us out. But it's his purpose and his will that we would never have to bear that weight in the first place. We wonder, why is God so what some people would call strict on holiness, righteousness, and purity? And we always think it's because he's just strict. No, it's because he knows that when you sin, there's a burden that you're going to have to carry. And he doesn't want you to have to carry that weight. He doesn't want you to have to be separated from him. He loves you too much for that. And so the first reason that God wants us to be pure is found in, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed, we're happy when we're pure. But the second reason is that we can see him. We can know him. So the word see in the Greek means to discern clearly or to experience. So blessed are those that are without mixture within their heart, their innermost being, what makes them who they are, for they shall discern clearly and experience God. Now, here's the thing. Everyone can observe God, right? Even unbelievers, they can have the reality to know there is a God, and they can observe him. They can read the Bible, and they can observe who God is. But unless you have a pure heart, you can't discern him clearly. It's like there's a veil, right? It's just like Paul talks about how with the Jews, there's a veil that lays over their eye, and they can't see Jesus for who they really are. Why? Because they haven't experienced purity of heart. They're still trying to have purity just on the outside. And so when we don't have a pure heart, even though we have known God, when we begin to mix with the world, we can't see him for who he really is. We can merely observe him. We can see things about him. We can hear things about him from other people, but we cannot experience him in a person-to-person manner. So everyone can observe God. Anyone can contemplate the existence or the nature of God. But in order to experience God, you have to be pure. Purity is the all-access pass to God. It's kind of like this. If a celebrity were to be walking down the road and they had their entourage and they had security guards, anyone can observe them. But in order to, let's say it was a musician, in order to get a backstage meet and greet, you would have to have some kind of pass, right? To be able to actually experience them, shake their hand, get to know them, talk to them. Well, it's the same way with God. Anyone can observe God because he's everywhere. In fact, we're going to go to Psalm 24 in a moment. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. God's everywhere. He's everywhere. Anyone can observe God, but not everyone can know him. When I say not everyone can know him personally, what I mean by that is everyone has the opportunity. Not everyone has accepted the opportunity to be pure in heart and actually know him and experience him and see him clearly. So purity is the all-access pass to God. So without purity, we're stuck at the door trying to know more about God. And so many people spend life stuck at the door, and they wonder, why don't I know God better? Have you ever found yourself at a place where you're like, I just feel like there's a wall between me and God. I feel like I don't know him. You know, we sang it earlier unintentionally. Father, I'm returning to the things that I used to do because somewhere on the journey I lost hold of the truth. I've been there before. Where I've been, I thought I was walking with God and I didn't realize somewhere I'd gotten completely off course and I didn't have the nearness and the closeness and the relationship with him that I once did. Well, anytime we find ourselves in that position, it's not God's fault. Because he told us clearly, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He's there with us all the time. Or have you ever been in a place where you just couldn't see him for who he really is? Somewhere there was mixture with something you weren't supposed to mix with. So ask him, purify my heart. Because when he purifies your heart, suddenly you can now see him clearly for who he is, not just who we perceive him to be. It's a dangerous thing. And this is where many people are. They build their knowledge of God off of who they perceive him to be instead of who he actually is. Until you really know someone, all you have is a perception of who they are. Right? Like, in fact, we may not know each other very well. And if we don't, if we haven't spent time together, like you may have heard me teach or preach, we may have had casual conversation, but you may not actually know me. So really what you have is you have a perception of who I am. Until we sit down and we have a meal together, spend time together, then you actually get to know that I'm actually even better than you thought I was. It's a joke, y'all. It's a joke. It's okay. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I need to remember that. No. But so often, because we just view God from a distance, we think we know more about God than we actually do. And what you think about God doesn't change who he is. He only is who he is, and he will never change. And so if we want to know God for who he really is, then we need to follow his formula for happiness and his formula for knowing him, which is to be pure in heart. And purity is the key that God's given us to be able to see him in the proper light. So this truth and this concept is throughout the scripture regarding purity and closeness with God. Because remember, why does he want us to be pure? Number one, so we can be happy. Number two, so we can see him. We can know him. Let's look at a few scriptures and then we'll close. 2 Samuel 22:27. I'm going to give you just a second to turn over there. We're going to look at these passages of scripture and this concept of purity brings about closeness or knowledge, greater depth of knowledge of God. 2 Samuel 22. This is a psalm of David. It's after he has delivered him from his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he writes this beautiful song to the Lord. And in chapter 22 of 2 Samuel, verse 27, this is what he says. With the pure you will show yourself pure, but with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. Now, here's what's interesting. Remember, everyone can observe God. Not everyone truly gets to know God. And David says, to the pure you show yourself pure, but to the devious you show yourself shrewd. What's he saying? Both people get a revelation of God, but they don't get the same revelation. One gets to know God as pure. That word pure in this sense in the Hebrew means tested, clean. It's like when they would pass gold or silver through the refiner's fire and it would come out tested, tried, and true, and sure. So that means that to the pure, he shows himself as someone that's trusted, that is valuable, someone that is has been through the fire and has come through with flying colors. But he says to the devious, he shows himself shrewd. That means that he's favorable to the pure and unfavorable to the devious person. So when we're pure in heart, we'll see God. And David's saying, when you're pure, he will reveal himself to you as pure. In Psalm 73, which is a psalm of Asaph, 73 verse 1, you don't have to turn there, it's a very short passage. It says this, truly God is good to Israel. But then he adds something. He doesn't just stop there. Because Israel's got a lot of people in it. So he says, let's add a little bit of detail to this. And let's say this, to such as are pure in heart. So God's good to Israel, but let me break it down for you a little bit and show you actually he's good to those that are pure in heart, to those that have a heart that's after him. So this is what that means. God is good, but he shares his goodness. He reveals his goodness to people that are pure in heart. He's good whether you're pure in heart or not. You being impure in heart doesn't change whether God's good or not. But you being pure in heart gets you the opportunity, it's the key, it's the all-access pass, to be able to experience the goodness of God. Maybe you've been there before where you're like, you know what? I know God's good. Why am I not experiencing his goodness? Maybe it's because there's not purity of heart like there should be. Last one. Go with me to Psalm 24. It's amazing. Most of the Beatitudes have a parallel in the Psalms. We've already looked at a few of them, and this one does as well. Excuse me. Psalm 24. I read this Sunday morning in prayer as we were getting ready for service, and the Lord's just had this scripture on my heart a lot this week. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." But then in verse 3, he asks this question. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Then he answers his own question. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him. who seek your face, Selah. Now, I want to point out to you the parallels between blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, in Psalm chapter 24. The parallels are this. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? Meaning, who can see him clearly? Because when you talk about ascending the hill of the Lord and standing in his holy place, that means that your previous position, your previous vantage point was from a lower place just gazing upward. Meaning, I can't see him clearly. Remember what it means? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see, they shall discern clearly, and they shall experience God. And so David is saying in Psalm 24 that who can get to that place? Because imagine if somebody was on top of a mountain, you could look up and you could know that they were there, but you couldn't notice the details about them. You couldn't have a conversation with them. So not just who can gaze up, and that's where most people are with God. They're just, oh, I know he's up there, gazing up at God, right? He's real. He's there. He's up there watching out for me. But they don't know him. They don't experience him. And so he says, who can experience the presence of God? Who can really stand in that place? Who can climb that hill? The one who has clean hands and has a pure heart. Not the one. Now, clean hands is external. We're not just focused on external. He didn't say, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands. No, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. So, not the appearance of purity, but true purity that is in the innermost being, not mixed with. And then he says, because remember, to be pure means to be without mixture. Well, then David says in Psalm 24, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. That would be that mixture. Who hasn't given himself over to the worship of things other than God? And listen, we like to say, oh, I'm not an idol worshiper. Well, you may not have a shrine in the closet at home, but if there's anything that gets excessive devotion above God, then you may be giving yourself over to idol worship. And you may wonder, why can't I access the presence of God the way that I want to? Why can't I discern him clearly? Because there's too much mixture going on, too much mixture with the world. So then he says this, he shall receive his blessing from God. Remember what Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. The word blessed in Hebrew and the word blessed in Greek both mean happy. And so basically David is saying, he shall receive happiness from God. Who? The person with a pure heart. So there's these parallels. And remember this, these Beatitudes are the spiritual formula for godly blessing on your life, for true happiness. And man looks at the outward appearance, but God's looking at your heart. That means this, you might be able to fool your friends about being pure, but you will never pull the wool over God's eyes. He truly knows. He sees all things, and he's looking. So you might ask, okay, well, how do I truly be pure? Well, remember that the word heart means, one of the definitions is mind. So if you want to be pure, you need to think pure thoughts. And that's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate. Think on these things. So here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to focus on, I'm thinking pure thoughts. When an impure thought comes, not thinking that. A thought that would cause you to mix. No, I'm mixing faith. I'm not mixing doubt. I'm mixing purity. I'm not mixing greed or lust or whatever the enemy tries to throw your way. I'm going to think on these things. Because if I'm going to be pure, because remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I think pure in my heart, I'll be pure. Because that's what God's after, is a pure heart. But we spend so much time on the external. I want to be, because we want to appear pure. Listen, I want to appear pure too. That's a tongue twister. I want to do that too. But what I want more than anything is God to look at me and go, I'm going to bless that guy. Why? He's pure in heart. Other people may be looking at him, and everybody, guess what? You'll never hide all your flaws from everybody. But the cool thing about God is he knows all your flaws already, and he still looks at you, and he loves you. And he looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ and he says, they're pure. They're innocent. They're without mixture. Are they still working through some things? Absolutely. But they're not willfully mixing their life with the enemy. They're not willfully giving their soul up to idols. They're not willfully swearing deceitfully. They're going after me. And because of that, I'm going to bless them. And I'm not just going to bless them on the earth. I'm going to let them see me clearly. I'm going to let them have a deeper revelation and knowledge of who I am. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. We still have a lot of homework for our children to do, so I told Madison I'd cut my sermon short tonight. So you guys got shortchanged because we were lazy with homework. That's a joke, too. That's a joke. Father, we thank you so much that we can be pure in heart. It's not a pipe dream. It's not something that you promise, but you will not enable us to perform. But I thank you that each of these formulas that you've given us, not only do you require them of us or want them for us, but you also give us the grace to be able to do them. And so I just thank you right now that that we can be pure in heart. I thank you that we can see you. I thank you that the answer to the question, who can ascend the hill of the Lord, who can stand in his holy place, was not no one. It was he who has clean hands, he who has a pure heart. Lord, we don't want to lift up our souls to idols. We don't want to swear deceitfully. We want to truly be without mixture. God, cleanse us, purge us, make us new. Take away the dross from the silver so that the silversmith can have something to take to make jewelry out of that would be beautiful to you and that you would take pleasure in. God, we want our lives to honor you and bring you pleasure. We love you tonight, and I just pray for us to have the strength and the mental tenacity to whatever is true and lovely and of good report, whatever is pure. God, all those things, that's what we want to think about because we truly want to be pure in heart so that we can see you and so that others can see you in us. We love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you be blessed, truly happy, not carrying the weight of guilt, condemnation, or shame. But I declare tonight, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If God calls you pure, it doesn't matter what other people remember about you, say about you, think about you, try to hold over your head. He's the God who purifies, delivers, heals, and sets on the solid rock. And I declare that over your life tonight. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.